Previously on Colors.
Bienvenidos sean todos a las tardeadas con DJ Chicano en la mera mera 1050 AM 93.5 FM más y menos.
His name is Bryant Morales.
I'm also known as DJ Chicano here in the area.
And you can hear him on La Mera Mera Radio in Washington, D.C.
I'm currently 27 years old. I'm a local Marylander, but I am Latino, my dad being Mexican and my mom being Peruvian. I love being able to connect with people through music.
Coming up in this episode of Colors.
Roller skating. It's back, but it actually never left.
At a time when, you know, people are looking for things that work, that when I say work, are beneficial to the community, and community being people of all ages.
Tasha Klusman is the board president of the Our Family Skate Association based in Washington, D.C.
You know, we know that roller skating is one of those things that you can start doing as soon as you start walking, 2 or 3 years old, and you can do well into your 80s. It is a lifetime sport.
And don't look now, but roller skating.
And again, it has so many aspects to it that seemingly most people don't know about. So that educational piece is really key for us.
And it's fun, too.
It is the best. Exercise, fun, entertainment.
Great story for you.
That's coming up in this episode of Colors.
Simmering racial tensions.
Segregation now and tomorrow and forever.
Fighting injustice.
I have a dream.
Conflict looming.
For justice! For peace!
Brutality exposed.
I can't breathe! I can't breathe!
The search for solutions starts here.
From WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.
There's no big introduction or build up for this. There's no magic to this. Roller skating, rollerblading, rolling is super fun. And you probably have done it on some level. Anyway, this show is all about that with Tasha Klusman. She's the board president of the Our Family Skate Association. All right, would you tell us what is the Our Family Skate Association?
It is an organization that is dedicated to sharing the health and social benefits of roller skating, which now encompasses history. The real goal is to make sure that for those people who haven't fallen in love with skating, that they get an opportunity to experience different aspects of it. And that for people and organizations and communities who are looking to do what I call, you know, just people building, to understand that there is a natural component of that is in roller skating, and to hopefully facilitate and support their engaging in those kinds of activities.
How long has this organization been around, and what's the makeup of this organization?
It has its beginnings actually in the 80s as an advocacy component that my mom started when I was coming up, and really in Anacostia Park here in Washington, D.C. And so it was really community members coming together service to keep the space clean, to do repairs, and to make sure that the floor was actually available for skating. Again, at the time, there was some back and forth about a multi-purpose facility. So at its core was advocacy. In the 2002, we actually incorporated, formed it into Our Family Skate Association, again, with the purpose of being more structured and formalized to, again, promote and push roller skating from a community perspective. Mm-hmm. It is still a community organization, although in the last several years, The membership piece has not been the focus. It's really been about the programming piece. And so at this point, it's primarily a board and an advisory group. And again, with the goal of sharing stories, supporting advocacy, primarily here in DC, but also around the country when we get the opportunity to do that.
Did this organization start out as, I guess, an effort to encourage people of color, African Americans, minorities to get involved in skating?
What I would say is first that it started with people from my community, and I am African American, right? So what I had experienced coming up was that a lot of roller sports was not available in my community, or I should say wasn't at the point that I was coming up. When I, in the 80s, as I was in high school, Calorama Road was still open. And I actually took classes as part of my School Without Walls curriculum. And it was because of that that I was exposed to roller skating, figures, and dance. However, once Calorama closed, roller skating, figures, and dance, speed, all of that ended here in the district. Roller skating is part of the Special Olympics. So I definitely want to make sure that skating is available in the African-American community in all its aspects, all its genres. But again, for some reason, roller skating doesn't seem to be promoted very much in any community. It's there. It hasn't gone away. It's been, you know, kind of consistent. And there are times when it really peaks up. But it's very interesting that most people don't know that it's speed, that it's figures, that it's dance, that it's performance, that it's in the Special Olympics again. So where tennis and basketball and football has a different kind of undergirding, and we see things like skateboarding get to be popular, roller skating just gets missed as a good thing.
You mentioned roller sports. Is there a difference from your perspective or from your organization's perspective between roller skating and roller blading?
Absolutely. Two different pieces of equipment. Although, well, and let me say again, from a historical point of view, I see ice skates, roller blades, and roller skates as part of the same family tree. And roller blades, the inlines were allowed around 100 years before the roller skate. Right. So though we saw this big thing come out in the 80s about around rollerblading, it is actually the older piece of equipment. The reason why the roller skates were developed with the two wheels and the two wheels in the back is for more maneuverability. So literally, people were already doing inline and they were trying to perform and do movement. And somebody said, this isn't working out real well. And they came up with the new design, and it is for the purpose of those edges that allow you to do a whole plethora of other things. So it is two different pieces of equipment. Having said that, I'm here to support people rolling. And I do know that there are a lot of Olympians who actually started on the eight wheels, and then they moved into rollerblading, speed skating. So at the end of the day, where you find your joy in the spectrum of skating, it isn't for me to say. I really just want you to have access.
All right. Looking at where you're taking this organization, what you want to do with it, what it started out to be, where are you now?
The history has, for the last 20 years in a way, or more and more, taken over from the standpoint of view of getting the archives established, and now for us to be able to go public with it to allow people to have access. I am really close to seeing that happen, and now very much wanting to be a part of the advocacy piece again and to be out on the floor with people skating. So here in DC, we do not have a roller rink in DC proper. It's been more than 30 years, and we aren't seeing the kind of, I think, growth and the benefit, honestly, to the community at a time we say we're struggling. When we say we're struggling what to do with our youth. So for me now, the next 2 to 3 years has to be about the advocacy piece, making sure that while we have this up moment in skating, while you have Usher on the Super Bowl and people's ears are tuned in, how do we take that momentum and actually produce some roller skating programming here in this area and across the country? And particularly, I think, in low income neighborhoods and communities. Why not?
What do you need then to get where you want to go.
We must develop a strong network, and it does require that kind of political connection, the ear of, I think, systems, a way roller skating as a infrastructure, especially if we want to bring it to young people, has to have a buy-in, I think a governmental buy-in. Roller skating has been a mom and pop business, which is why the rinks closed by and large. It's also been a mom and pop kind of business to the extent that the programming that occurs in a community has been left totally to those small business owners who may or may not know about roller sports, who may or may not support roller sports, who honestly may or may not support the community that they're in. So looking to really establish a network and a community connection through our Family Skate Association and beyond, that really sets us up to have a conversation about taking roller skating to a different kind of community level that is honestly political, I think, political and governmental.
I've been a rollerblader for about 30 years, and interestingly, I never learned how to roller skate. And as you say, they are very similar. I did it for health reasons, for cardio. It's a good form of cardio. Can you talk a bit about the health benefits of roller skating, rollerblade, or just rolling?
And it really is rolling. I think that, again, with all kinds of skating, what we see, the blades as well as the two in the front, two in the back, what I call traditional roller skating, it really doesn't have the kind of stress on your body that, say, running has, right? So you end up getting that cardio that you're talking about, that muscle movement and that engagement without the stress on your knees and your back, right? We have a lot of people who have back injuries who find that roller skating is phenomenal, especially skating backwards for some reason. We know that it's very good for your balance. As you're aging, if you continue to skate, especially, you know, we have people starting in their 30s and 40s, but if you can start early enough where your balance is already, or you still have it, and you keep skating, you really do keep it. We have people skating well into their 80s and their 90s, and those stories are coming out more and more. There is just something about it, peace of mind. So whether you're rollerblading in the path and you're outdoors and you're zipping along and you have that freedom, that feel, or you're skating in the skating rink and you're skating to the music and you have that just that mental release, those endorphins. So it is mind, body, and spirit. And again, however you choose to do it, whether it's, you know, to music or again, just, you know, sort of the wind, you know, zooming by you kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's fun. One of the things that I really enjoy, totally enjoy, is going down steep hills. That can be scary, as you know. And one of the first times I did that, I ended up taking off probably half of my hip, the skin, trying to make what I call a hockey stop. But anyway, I learned very quickly, got over that. There is a tremendous rush you get from doing something like that. But I'm hopeful that people will understand and see what you're saying about the tremendous benefits of rolling. And if you do it right, it's even more beneficial. But more people need to be exposed to it. And I think earlier you were talking about your project, your archive. Is that a way to expose more of what you're doing to people? Or is that more a way to curate the history of the sports?
It is absolutely, from its beginning, it was a way. I wanted to document the stories as proof. People didn't believe it. People didn't believe what skating was. They had, you know, they had their minor experience with it, but it just really didn't register. So literally we were collecting stories as proof, as the backup, as the facts. I've learned a lot just about community. And I mean, the Black migration took on a whole new view from getting people's stories. But at the end of the day, it really is documentation of decades of benefits of roller skating.
Yeah. When you look back over the timeline of your own trajectory in rolling, what's one of your favorite images or favorite memories or moments of that time?
And I always really say that I was sort of set up in the most divine way for the history part of it, because for me, I've touched different aspects of skating in my own personal journey. For me, one of the things that stands out is performing. And again, a lot of people don't know that roller skating has always been a performance medium. And so there have been moments where I have either been in a parade, like the Cherry Blossom Parade, or opening the reopening of the post office pavilion. I'm laughing because I had, when they reopened Union Station, I actually had my first, that was the first time I ever met Marion Barry. And I was on my skates and we were both kind of coming out of the proceedings, the event. And again, he sort of took my hand and kind of was rolling. And again, I don't know that I recognized him immediately, but then his security was there and the whole thing. So roller skating has put me in places and in contact with people that I wouldn't have met otherwise, I think. So
that's a tremendous memory, because Marion Barry is and was a towering figure when you think about the history of the nation's capital, especially in that time frame, because I would argue that back in the 80s, you know, that was he was at the zenith of his recognition and his power in the district, you know. So that's a great memory.
You talk about when you got into rolling. I do recall speaking to you earlier and you talked about your older brother being a significant or pivotal factor in your getting involved. Can you tell that story to our audience?
I'm 3 years younger, and that's huge when, you know, you're fifth or sixth grade and they're doing high school. So it was that kind of dynamic. So what I said was, he didn't want me to go with him, and he wasn't going to take me, in part because that was his freedom at being in junior high school and being able to go skating without the family. Like, that was really grown up. So there were some young ladies across the street who I was friends with who actually were in junior high school, a set of twins, and they took me for the first time. I rode with them and he got dropped off, right? So literally he kind of sort of ignored me, because again, you don't necessarily want to have your little sister with you while you're out at skating. But for me going, the twins were really popular, so I was better off kind of being with them anyway from my perspective too. But I just remember being there and having that moment where you're at the rail and you're not yet a good skater, but you're looking around and you're seeing the people going by who are. And they have on their club jackets, and there was Larry, and Larry was a guy with a huge bush and he was the rink guard, but he had Larry's Angels and they had their shirts on and the Rolling Skulls. And so I was immediately captivated with, again, the whole image of it, and I wanted to be one of those people out there, and it would be years before I got to be good enough, but it to have that memory was an aspiration, you know. And it, again, like I said, there've been those dots along the way. From there, I ended up, you know, back to Marion Barry a bit, my first summer youth job was at the Anacostia Park Pavilion. I was giving out skates through that program, and so, you know, sort of that constant showing up in my life of the opportunity for roller skating, whether it was that first job or School Without Walls, and being able to take the class and then being able to perform and being a part of, you know, sort of pivotal moments in DC's history, or, you know, with openings and closings and that kind of thing. So I'm happy that my brother and his friends really got into skating. And I'm just as happy that I got a chance to go with the girls and not my big brother.
Well, as a guy with sisters, I completely understand. I completely understand where you're coming from with that. And that is one of the pieces of magic of sister and brother relationships. And that kind of dynamic for me extended beyond family, you know? It created deeper relationships with others. It was a tremendous familial community. And what you're saying, I'm sure what you're saying, what I hear, is that skating, rolling creates that kind of community building.
That is a huge part of roller skating. And it absolutely shows itself, you know, in the African-American community, both with, again, like you said, who you take to the rink, but also who you end up skating with week after week that turns into year after year and decades. And so not only is it a huge local community in DC, when I tell you that, like I said, there has not been a rink in DC proper in 30 years, but you have four generations of skaters. Like, I'll say, whose baby is that? Whose grandbaby is that? So there really is still that people talking about, you know, when they skated at Calorama or Alexandria and now introducing their children or grandchildren to it. So, and then there's this national connection where people, skaters recognize skaters, you know, different styles and genres, and still they come together. So it is a community within itself, a sub-community. And I think that passions do that, you know, when you have something that you're into, it becomes a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And again, you know, it's interesting too, that so many people in the skating world end up in relationship because you do spend so much time there. So there are lots of opportunities for marriages and dating and that kind of thing as well. So.
Absolutely. Tasha Klusman, thank you for spending some time with us on Colors, talking about skating, rolling. Here on Colors, we do all sorts of stories about a lot of different topics. And our objective is to engage in respectful interracial dialogue about race in America. And you brought up one that I think, honestly, is very much underrated. And this issue, rolling, for health reasons, has lost certainly momentum, I think, in the last 10 years or so for a variety of reasons. We need skating rinks, more so in some areas than others, because they create opportunities to prevent crime, to prevent the opportunity for young people or even older people to get into something negative or something that could have a bad outcome for them. And I'm not saying this just in terms of neighborhoods where African Americans live. I'm saying this in terms of all people all across the nation. Are there any words you'd like to share? Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share with us before we go?
I appreciate this time. And again, I really do think that we have to reframe what our young people need. And that's, but what we all need in life, the kind of outlet and the kind of energy. And like we talked about, when you have the opportunity to combine flow and freedom and movement, and then it becomes exercise and joy just because it's fun, we have to invest in those kind of things. And as you said, we've learned through pandemic that mental health is key, and that engagement and relationship and connection is key. And so with something like rolling, as you say, that automatically pulls people together, we have to find a way to recognize it and then create it, recreate it.
Yeah.
So I look forward to, through this conversation, the divine bringing together that network, that political, governmental kind of community dialogue that needs to happen to make it so.
Sure. Would you like to tell the listeners how to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can find us at ourfamilyskateassociation.org. We're also hashtag NAARSA on Facebook.
All right.
Tasha, thank you so much for your time and talking about this sport, which, my own personal opinion, one of the greatest sports that has yet to become an Olympic sport. But it's got to come. I honestly believe that it will eventually come. I think sooner than later, it's got to be an Olympic sport. And when it does happen, I'm hopeful that we'll be there. In the meantime, thank you, Tasha, for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for some thoughts about race in America and details about our next guest.
You're listening to Colors.
My name is Adam Carter. I am white, and I am from South St. Paul, Minnesota. It is a suburb of St. Paul, a predominantly white suburb. And my viewpoint on the impact of George Floyd's death on the U.S. is this. It is something that, I guess if you're paying attention to local politics and national politics, you could see coming.
This is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.
If you have any questions or comments about Colors, send us an email. You can reach us at colors at thecolorspodcast.com. That's colors at thecolorspodcast.com.
Coming up in our next episode of Colors.
If there's one thing I've learned about race and race relations in my better part of a decade covering news, it's that I think we all have more in common than we know, and it's not black and white, no pun intended.
That is Matt Koufax. He's known in the Washington, D.C. area as Matt About Town.
I do think that in 2024 there is a divide, but it's not as much of a racial one depending on where you are.
So on our next episode, we're going to talk to Matt about what he's seen and found in his travels as Matt About Town, and before that, when he was Matt Koufax, the reporter.
That's coming up in our next episode of Colors.
That's it for this episode of Colors. Thanks to everybody that helped us put this show together. Thanks to Hillary Howard, Mike Chukaitis. Thank you to the Core family. Thank you to Rose Varner Gaskins. We also want to thank everybody that's a new listener. And thanks to all the old listeners. And thanks to Akash Gandhi for our music. Thanks to Jesse Gallagher and Cosmic. And most of all, thank you that are listening right now. And I always say, keep talking to each other.
And just as important, keep listening to each other.
You can subscribe to Colors wherever you get your podcasts. This is Colors, a dialogue on race in America.